السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. قد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters who may be listening over the streaming or the receivers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who has created us, and He has not created us in vain. Allah ta'ala Himself clarifies this point in the Quran Majeed: أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. That do you think that we have created you in vain and that you will not return to us? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim. One of the sifat and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah ta'ala is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. In Arabic it is said, فِعْلُ الْحَكِيمِ لَا يَخْلُو مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ. The actions of a wise person will never be devoid of wisdom. All his actions, you will find some of his wisdom will come out. There will be wisdom in every single action that he does, because he has got hikmah, he's got wisdom, he's far-sighted. So therefore, he will always look at the end result, the outcome. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-wise. There can be nobody that has got more wisdom than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, if we develop this conviction in our hearts, you see, one is we say that Allah is Hakim. So saying it with the tongue does not necessarily mean that we have got conviction in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the real conviction that azmat and that greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it needs to enter our hearts. The reality that Allah ta'ala is Hakim and all-wise needs to enter our hearts. When a person realizes that Allah is Hakim, all-wise, so then he will understand that every single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single action and decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be full of wisdom. And then a person will never ever suffer depression, for example. Because a person who has the quality of Radha bil Qada, that he is pleased with the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he realizes that my Allah is Hakim, my Allah is all wise, my Allah doesn't do things recklessly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is all wise, He has decided that this must be the matter in my life, this must be my situation in my life. And a person realizes this, and he realizes that Allah is Hakim, and he is happy with the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how can this person suffer depression? He'll say, May razi hu Allah ta'ala ki hukam par. I am pleased with the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person will be able to overcome that depression. That is why those people who have developed this yaqeen in their hearts, no matter what the trial, no matter what the tribulation, never ever will you find them committing, for example, suicide. There will be not a single example of a sahabi or a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala committing suicide. Yet if we study the lives of the sahaba-i-kiram, if we study the lives of the anbiya-i-kiram, subhanallah, what kind of difficulties came upon them. Allah ta'ala himself mentions in the Quran Sharif, مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَى وَالضَّرَّى وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, difficulties, calamities came upon them. وَزُلْزِلُوا, they were shaken up. حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ, until the messenger of the time and the people who were with him, close to him, They said, when is the help of Allah coming? In other words, Allah Ta'ala is trying to show what was the level of difficulty that came upon them. But then Allah Ta'ala Himself gives the answer thereafter, Allah, listen very carefully. Hamatan gosht hokar suna. In other words, make your entire body and ear listen attentively. Inna nasrallahi qareeb. The help of Allah Ta'ala is very, very near. So respected elders and brothers, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with iman. Today, unfortunately, so many people are suffering from depression. They're suffering from depression and they are searching for cures, medicines and different kinds of cures, going to psychologists and all these kind of people. And definitely, they have got some qualifications and they've got some abilities and capabilities and there is definitely effect in medication. But who is the one who really can solve our problems? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we need to go back to the root cause of the problem. Our late Hazrat Moin Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullahi, when he went to Pakistan, so there was one person who came to him. He came to Hazrat Moin Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi, said, Hazrat, I was a former actor and my wife was an actress. And at the moment, my wife is going through very severe depression. We've gone through different doctors and psychologists and she's on this medication and that medication. But she's just not improving. So Hazrat Moin Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi gave that kitab, which some of us may be aware of, Tafweez. Some of us may have read the kitab. But how sad it is, respected elders and brothers, that many of us come to this masjid and some of us have not even read the kitab of our late Hazrat Moin Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullahi. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to take advantage of these opportunities. It is sad, respected elders and brothers, that those who are blessed with the ni'mat and the bounty, they do not appreciate it. And those who do not have the bounty, how they wish they could have had it. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with the quality of shukr in every aspect of our lives. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala blesses us with the company of the pious. Sometimes Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala blesses us with a certain alim in our locality. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala blesses us with knowledge of deen. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala blesses us with wealth. But we take it for granted. The Maulana is here, we'll meet him next namaz. Next namaz. Sometimes the person says, you know, I knew Hazrat Moin Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullahi from childhood days. Rabbi, you knew Hazrat from childhood days, did you benefit from him? Just to put one more feather in the cap and say that we had the company of Hazrat Moin Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullahi, is that something that will enter us into Jannah? What did you develop from him? What qualities did you implement in his life? Did you develop the quality that Hazrat Moin Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi, that quality of consideration for others, that quality of sympathy for others, that quality of love for others? Have we brought it into our lives? Or do we confine deen to merely performing our 5 times salah and discharging our zakat and going for hajj? What about all the other aspects of deen? Respected elders and brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. I'm addressing myself because alhamdulillah with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also spend certain amount of time through the help of Allah ta'ala. But what did we really benefit? Have we developed those qualities in our lives? People were attracted to him. So nevertheless, coming back to that incident, so Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi, he gave this person that kitab, Tafweez. Few days time, this person came to Hazrat Moin Yunus Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Hazrat, I need to tell you something, that my wife read your kitab and she says, I found the cure. My years of depression, I have found the cure, and that is to resign my will to the will of Allah. I am now happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now a person would say, but there's nothing very fancy in that kitab, basic simple English. There's no major theories of Einstein or anything in that book. What was it? Sometimes, respected elders and brothers, we've got to read between the lines. There's something that is between the lines that we cannot see. That with what heart did the person say those words? With what intention did that kitab, was it prepared? That sincerity, that ikhlas, and that is something we cannot see. Now, many things, respected elders and brothers, we cannot see, but it is there. For example, this entire masjid, none of us can really see the foundation of this masjid. But when the engineer and the architect was preparing this masjid, so they must have thought very carefully that this masjid needs to withstand and hold so many musallis. We need to put so much of steel, we need so much of concrete, we need to make sure that the structural integrity is proper and everything is according and will be able to withstand the weight. And how much of effort was made. Today we are sitting in the masjid, we cannot see the foundation. But it's because of the foundation that the entire structure is standing and we are all here. Respected elders and brothers, that ikhlas, that deep-hearted desire, those thoughts and desires within the heart, that sincerity within the heart, nobody can see. But if it is there, then you will find that what comes afterwards, subhanallah, people benefit, thousands of people benefit. So respected elders and brothers, this rada bil qada, resigning our will to the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the anbiya of the past, what difficulties they went through. It is mentioned with regard to Hazrat Ayyub ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, that we know that a time came in his life where he was afflicted with sickness, and such sickness that it is mentioned that parts of his body used to fall and there used to be insects that were eating from his body. It is mentioned once that there was a certain worm that was eating into his body, and that worm fell onto the ground. He picked the worm and put it back up. He said, Allah Ta'ala has written the rizq of this worm in my body. How can I deprive this worm of rizq? And this was his kayfiyat. This was his level of resigning himself to the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Years went by and he suffered in this manner. But somebody came to him and said, why don't you make dua and ask Allah Ta'ala to alleviate your suffering? He says, I feel ashamed. I feel ashamed that Allah Ta'ala blessed me with so many years of good health. So many years of good health. I am now going through difficulty for a period of time. He says, until I am not afflicted for the same period of prosperity that I had, I feel ashamed to ask Allah Ta'ala for help. So subhanallah, eventually of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviated his suffering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only tests a person in accordance to his capacity. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Therefore any difficulty that we are going through, keep this in mind, that it is within me. I have got the potential, I have got the capacity to be able to overcome this problem. Because Allah Ta'ala is not an oppressor. Allah Ta'ala is not a zalim. Allah Ta'ala has placed a burden that is within my ability. If the father calls his little 2-year-old child and makes him carry a 10 kg or 20 kg bag, so we'll say that father is very oppressive. How can you put the child and allow him to carry such a thing? But if the father calls his 21-year-old son and asks him to carry that 20 kg bag, then of course we're not talking about today's society. Today's society, the father will tell the son, or the son will tell the father, you carry it yourself. You carry it yourself, why must I carry it? Allah Ta'ala changed the condition. This is because, respected elders and brothers, sometimes we have to blame ourselves. Sometimes we have to blame ourselves that what did we teach our children? Did we teach our children to respect us? Or we say, no, never mind, he's small, he doesn't need to respect me. We have to sometimes teach our little children to respect the elders. We're sitting on the table, we are eating. Today after Jummah we will be sitting. Sometimes the Nana is there, the Dada is there. Teach your son that Nana has to eat first. Dada has to eat first. It demands respect. He is the eldest person in the family. Even if the son is a Shaykhul Hadith and Mufti Sahib, but if his father is sitting on the table, then the father should be eating first. Allah has given a rank to those who are senior. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has instructed that we show respect to those who are older than us. So we need to teach our children, respect those who are elder, respect your father, and you should be respecting your own father. If we're respecting our fathers, then our children will see us. My father respected my dada, and therefore I need to respect my father. So we are sometimes to be blamed for this, that we are not teaching our children good morals and good akhlaq. And then later on, when the child turns around and insults us, then we ask why. Sometimes it is the husband and wife that are not working as a team. The father is trying to make the tarbiyat of the child, and unfortunately the mother undoes it. You know, the father is being too harsh. Of course we are not saying that we must be beating up the children, but we are talking about using different techniques. Sometimes we need to give incentives to our children, that if you do this, I will reward you with this. And sometimes it's the other way around. The mother is trying to train the child, go and perform your salah, wake up for fajr. Father says, no, don't worry, he's small. Let him sleep. He's studying the whole night for his exams. So that is more important, he needs to sleep. Yet he is baligh, salah is compulsory upon him. Then tomorrow when he puts deen in the back, he puts deen and gives deen the second place, then we shouldn't ask why. Our late Mohini Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned one incident of a certain person who passed away. He gave his son a lot of academic education, secular education, university degrees, all those things. He went overseas, England, studied. When he came back to India, he came because his father was very, very sick. And when he returned, spent a few days with his father until his father passed away. They said that the qabr, at the grave, when people were all standing around the grave, that son was crying. The son was crying and he's saying, "Oh my father, you gave me secular education. But today I am standing at your grave and I don't know how to read for you. I don't know how to read for you." So respected elders and brothers, we need to consider this. As much deen as we give our children, this will be an investment for us in the akhirah. When our eyes close, it will be investment. You give your child a lot of secular education, a lot of money in terms of worldly wealth. When you close your eyes, he's not going to send money for you, respected elders and brothers. If you gave him deen, you taught him how to read Quran Sharif, you taught him how to perform salah, you taught him good character and mannerisms, you taught him how to show kindness and be generous to the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans. When you close your eyes, whatever good deeds he does will go into your grave. It will go into your grave. As a touching incident of an individual. And you have heard it over and over again. But what we are going to be mentioning here is nothing new. We are here to remind ourselves. This person was a drunkard. And he had a little son. Eventually what happened was he passed away. He was drinking too much and he got knocked and he died. So the mother, alhamdulillah, she was deendar. She had deen in her life. So she made sure that she gave her child deeni education. Deeni education. Deeni knowledge. Sometimes we say, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. This hadith sharif is misquoted. طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. The seeking of knowledge is compulsory upon every Muslim. So you'll find all different institutes teaching their children math, science and English. They say, see, you see, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, learning mathematics and science is compulsory upon every Muslim. So then the question we will ask them is that how many Sahaba-i-Kiram were proficient in mathematics and science and biology? How many Sahaba-i-Kiram had, you know, excelled in those fields? We are not saying it's impermissible. But then are we saying that the Sahaba-i-Kiram left out a compulsory act? What was Nabi Kareem Sahasam referring to? Deeni knowledge. Allah Ta'ala Himself mentioned in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا وَقُرْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Allah Ta'ala saying to Nabi Kareem Sahasam, say, O my Rabb, increase me in knowledge. Now which knowledge did Nabi Kareem Sahasam have? He had the knowledge of Quran, the knowledge of Hadith, the knowledge of the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the knowledge of those things that will bring the happiness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So therefore, this person, this mother, she started giving her child deeni knowledge. She sent him to the madrasa, she sent him to the maktab. He learned how to recite Quran Sharif. He started learning the Alif Bata. In the meantime, this person in his grave, he was being punished by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, by the angels for his bad habits. He was being punished. And suddenly a time came where the angel immediately stopped the punishment. And instead, a window was opened in his grave and beautiful, fragrant breeze was blowing into his grave. So he became confused. He said, "Oh angels, what has happened? Every day I was being severely punished. Suddenly now things have changed. There is such comfort and such serenity in my grave. What has happened?" The angel said, "You see, you left behind a little son. Your wife, your ex-wife brought the child up, gave the child deeni knowledge, sent the child to the madrasa. The child started learning alif, ba, ta, tha. Today or yesterday, your child recited Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim." So Allah Ta'ala said, "O angels, this person's son is calling me most merciful, most gracious. When the son is calling me most merciful, most gracious, how can I punish his father?" So respected elders and brothers, you see, that is the knowledge we should be giving our children. Those are the characters and those are the qualities that we should be implementing in our children. Yes, we should also look after their worldly affairs, but give precedence to deen. Give precedence to developing these wonderful qualities and morals. Sometimes we say, well, you know, these people, they've taught their children good morals. They will greet. They will say good morning. What has happened to us? That was our legacy. We were supposed to be teaching our children these good qualities. One alim says he was sitting in the plane, and while sitting in the plane, next to him there was a non-Muslim lady, and she had a little child. And the food came, so he said, we didn't eat the food. But he said this mother was feeding her child. And every time she fed her child, she told her child, say please. The child said, please. And when the mother put the child, the food in the mouth, the mother said, now say thank you. He said he counted 21 times this mother gave this lesson to the child of saying please and saying thank you. Respected elders and brothers, this should have been our teaching our child, say jazakallah. Say please. Say assalamu alaikum. Give precedence and respect. Give that item in your right hand. Hold your shoes in your left hand. To such an extent, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, he said that you should hold your shoes in your left hand. But when it comes to the shoes of your father, the shoes of your ustad, the shoes of your sheikh, then those shoes you should be holding in your right hand. That this is a very special person in my life. Sometimes you'll find the person straightens his ustad's shoes. He straightens his sheikh's shoes. His sheikh is here, now suddenly he's straightening his sheikh's shoes. But that same person, his father will walk out of the masjid, and the father will have to take out the shoes from the shoe racks and put it down. But yet, ulama-i kiram has stated that the father's rank and the mother's rank is above the rank of one sheikh and one ustad. You should be giving more respect to your father and mother than you give to your ustad and your sheikh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us these beautiful qualities, these noble habits. Allah ta'ala has given the rank of our parents such importance. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah ta'ala has given the right of the parents and placed the rights of the parents immediately after his rights. Showing the importance of the rights of one's parents. Today we'll find that the parents are old, and the son now and again will visit father, visit the mother. What has happened, respected elders and brothers? Have we forgotten what they have given us? May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq, all of us who have got our parents alive, to make maximum benefit from them. Take their du'as. Taking their du'as is not going to a father and mother say, make du'a for me. But do such actions. Make such khidmat for your father and mother. Such khidmat for your parents, that the du'a comes out from their heart automatically. You don't have to ask for du'as. Such du'as you make, that your parents automatically make du'a from their hearts. That, Ya Allah, what a son you gave me. Ya Allah, what a daughter you gave me. Recently I got so happy that one mother phoned me. A son, mashallah, changed his life, developed good qualities. Crying on the phone, she says, Morana, you know, I make so much of shukr, that what a wonderful son Allah gave me. So you get so happy when you hear parents saying that about their children. Respected elders and brothers, we must become the coolness of our parents' eyes in this dunya. Our Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahib, who is now down here. So, his father, Hazrat Wala Shaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, he made such khidmat for his father, that after he qualified as an alim, he told his father that, oh my father, now I want you to be absolutely free. I will look after my mother. I will look after the madrasa. You are free. You are free. I will take on that entire responsibility on my shoulder. So to such an extent, a stage came when the father said that Allah gave me one son. Allah gave me one son, but that one son is equivalent to 1,000 sons. That one son is equivalent to 1,000 sons. So respected elders and brothers, we have also got our opportunity to get our Jannah. And our opportunity to get our Jannah, Allah says, رِضَى الرَّبِّ فِي رِضَى الْوَالِدِ. That Allah Ta'ala's happiness is when your parents are happy with you. Provided, of course, that happiness conforms to the commands of Allah Ta'ala. If the parents are commanding you to do something haram, then لا طاعة لمخلوقٍ في معصية الخالق, then you cannot obey them. But even then too, this never justifies being rude to them. Hazrat Ibrahim ala Nabiyina alayhi salatu wasalam, advising his father not to worship idols. Advising him. His father said, I'm not going to listen to you. In fact, I'm going to stone you. At that time, what was his response? قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلِي. What will be our condition? Say, come, let's see. Subhanallah. He said, peace be upon you. And he moved away. So respected elders and brothers, this is when the parents are kafir. Allah has blessed us with Muslim parents. Allah has blessed us with parents who have got wonderful akhlaq and character. how much of khidmat they made for us when we were helpless. Now it is our turn, respected elders and brothers. And oh, youth out there, sometimes we feel we're getting a lot of attention from a certain girl, certain boy. And our parents, they don't give us attention. But remember one thing, that love that you are getting from that illicit beloved, that is not true love. That is never true love. Tomorrow that beautiful girl, if she has to meet up in an accident and get third degree burns, see how many people will still be loving her? That young boy, if he has to meet up in an accident and his face becomes disfigured, will that girl still be running after him? But if it is one's parents, the mother and father will say, never mind, my child can have a disfigured face, my child can be bedridden, but this is still my son, this is still my child. That is true love, the love of our parents, the love that our parents have for us. Let us appreciate this love, let us consider this love, let us maintain this love. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. The intention was to speak about something else, but Allah Ta'ala knows best what comes in the hearts of each individual. Allah Ta'ala puts it in the mind. May Allah Ta'ala make it beneficial for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the akhlaq of our late Hazrat Muayyin Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, kindness towards others, consideration towards others. I leave you with one comment and one statement, our late Hazrat Muayyin Patel Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, and really we should carve this in our hearts. He used to say, do not go by the book of my rights. Do not go by the book of my rights. Today we are fighting my rights, but he's not doing this for me, she's not doing this for me. Do not go by that book. He says, go by the book of love, ihsan and khidmat. Can we imagine, respected elders and brothers, in a home where the husband and wife, the husband says, I will make khidmat for my wife. I will do ihsan for my wife. I will love her. And the wife says the same thing, that I will show love to my husband. Subhanallah, that home will be jannat on earth. That home will be jannat on earth. And sometimes we say, well, you know what, if I'm giving love and I'm not getting any love in return. So respected elders and brothers, we cannot fight fire with fire. We cannot fight fire with fire. If she is not giving you love, so do you retaliate in the same way? Can we not rise higher? Can we not fight that fire with water, with kindness, with love, with ihsan? Do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will give you from His treasure. Also a quote of our late Hazrat Muayyin Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.